Amen. Man, we had our last service yesterday for Promised Land Ministry and fulfilled the year, and it was awesome. We had a big barbecue outside, and we had one man, Nate, give his life to Christ. He'd been coming here for almost the whole year, and we had two rededicate their lives. So it was just an awesome day. The figures are just outstanding. I don't know if you guys got the newsletter yet. Not yet. All that information is in the newsletter, right, of what we've done. On June 28th at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a celebration, all coming together and just awarding some things to people that have helped out in different churches, all of our people that have helped out, all of our volunteers. We're going to recognize them. But you know what? We need an audience. And it is our responsibility as a church to come there and to support this, because this is our ministry. And so we've got plenty of ribs, plenty of chicken, all kinds of food, all kinds of desserts. So I pray that on that Saturday night you would come 5 to 7 o'clock, just to honor God and all that He's done in this church this past year. It's just unbelievable. All of those that were saved today are from Promised Land Ministries, and they're coming to Sunday school and just becoming part of our family. And we couldn't ask for anything more. Amen?
Amen.
Well, today's a special day, Jared, isn't it?
Amen.
Jared is the most quiet person I've ever met, but I'm going to call him out today. No, I won't. This Is Your Life is what I've entitled that, and talking to Jared, but really talking to all of us as Christians. It's graduation Sunday. Jared has just graduated from Central High School. I am right. Central. Right. And now he's already signed up, has a contract with the Air Force, and in July he'll be leaving us to go into the Air Force. His sister's already there. She's been in the Air Force how long, George?
A year in July.
A year in July. George is retired from the military, so it's a military family. And let's just give that whole family a round of applause. Amen. 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 We had a lady come into our Sunday school class this morning, and her son was in Afghanistan, and I guess he was shot or had some shrapnel hit him, and I guess he's paralyzed from his waist down, 22 years old. And they tried to bring him back to Martin Army because it's got the HERO program, and they can only get him as far as for Rutger, and his blood pressure dropped, and so she had to drive to Fort Rutger to be with him until they can bring him to Fort Benning here in just a few days, and needed some money. And man, let me tell you what, our Sunday school class took every bit of money up that they needed, and within 5 minutes she was gone. Amen. Amen. So that was awesome. That was awesome. And so she worked for
Chicken Salad Chick,
and she said she's going to bring everybody Chicken Salad Chick. I said, you don't have to do that, but she was just blessed and honored that we would do that for her. Her mother or grandmother, some of you ladies, Mama Willoughby and Lavinia might know her. Her grandmother's Dorothy Lamore. She used to come here when Brother Wayne was here for many, many years. And so our church was able to be a blessing to her. Well, Jared's the focus of our service today, as well as all of us. And I want to start with a very familiar passage. But before that, let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful church. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people, Father God, these loving people, Lord, that just give beyond what they're able to give sometimes, Lord Jesus. I pray that everybody that gave today, that you would give them a double portion of your blessing, Lord. Just pour out your favor upon them. Lord, they didn't think twice, Lord, in taking care of this lady to be with her son. And Lord, that is just what God's people should do. And Lord, there's no words to speak, Lord, about Jared. Just a mighty man of God, Lord Jesus. Just a man of integrity, Father God, and commitment and loyalty. Just full of respect, Father God. Lord, but we're not going to lose Jared, Father God. I believe that he's going to go, Father God, as a missionary, Father God, for you. Lord Jesus, so wherever he goes, he's gonna share that light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that everything we say here and everything we do would honor you, Father God, as we speak, Father God, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Big crowd, are you ready? This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to a very familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says, "For by grace," that's God's grace, "you have been saved through faith." That's God's faith that he gave you to be saved. "And that not of yourselves," you didn't do anything to earn it, it's a gift of God. "Not as a result of works," anything we have done, "so that no one can boast that you got to heaven on your own, that you did so much. It was a gift, and so you didn't have to earn it." But this is what I want you to see in verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So verses 8 and 9 tells us how to be saved by faith, because of God's grace. It's a free gift. We don't work for it. We can never work for it. And so since we didn't work to get it, we can't what? Work to keep it. That's exactly right. And so as soon as you are saved, whether you know it or not, if you're willing, God begins to mold you to what he had planned for you before the foundation of the world. So if you are saved today, God had plans before the foundation of the world that on this day that you were saved, God was going to enter into your life through the Holy Spirit and do great things in your life. You know what? When you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. You'll never be the same. The old is gone and the new has arrived, and that new is called the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that every season in our life, every period in our life, we are to live by serving God. We are to live and do the good works that God has called you to do, you very specifically, before the foundation of the world. Everybody is waiting on a calling. And there is some people that get a calling, whether it's a preacher or Jeremiah and all the prophets. Some of us get very specific callings. But living the Christian life day by day is our calling. We don't have to be waiting to be called by God to do something. God said, live like Christ every day. The Bible tells us to die daily to that flesh and take up your cross, which involves what? Sacrifice, and follow me. And God will teach us and grow us and show us and mold us into what He wants us to become. So, God made a promise to the Israelites through Jeremiah. And we all use this. Preachers use this all the time. And members love this verse. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He made a promise to the Israelites of taking care of them. And then Jeremiah is before what?
After Isaiah.
That's right. If you know where Isaiah is, you know where Jeremiah is. And it's easy to get to them because they're thick books. So you don't pass over them very easy. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says, and so we use this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." So look at verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, to bless you, and not for a calamity, not to destroy you, to give you a future and a hope." And we use that for each other. Man, God's got some great plans. That's exactly what He told Jeremiah. Great plans for them. Not for calamity, but for welfare. For great things in their life. And so we use that for each other, but of course, and it's an awesome verse, but it's totally taken out of context for you and I. God is talking to them while they are in exile to the Babylonians for their disobedience. And He said, if you turn back to me, if you do right, if you seek my face and give all your heart to me, I will take care of you. I will bring you back to where you belong. And so Israel was in disobedience at the time. Why? For not putting God first. And so God exiled them to Babylon. But look at verse 10. See, we don't look at verse 10 above. We don't look at the verses below. "For thus says the Lord, 70 years have been completed for Babylon. I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place." 70 years in exile because they disobeyed the Lord. They did what they wanted to do. They worshipped other gods. And so that was God's chosen people from the very beginning of time. And He still exiled them to Babylon until they could learn the lesson. And they came back and still had many more problems. 70 years of punishment. But you know what? In the midst of the punishment, God was there with them always. He was always telling them, if you would just seek forgiveness, if you would search me with all your heart, I'll bring you back. I'll restore all your fortunes. You know, maybe some of us are in that situation. We've gotten so far from God, and so we take these verses and say, "For I know I have the plan for you." Make sure that you look above, make sure that you look below, because there's requirements to that. We can't just pull verses out and say, "Man, I'm going to stand on that. God has great plans for me." And God says, "That's right, as soon as you repent of your sins As soon as you search me with all your heart, as soon as you pray, I'll do great things in your life. He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So, where are you at? But even in your rebellion, God never gives up. Even in when you turn from God, He's still right there. Because He does have plans for us. And the minute we repent and turn around, He puts us right back on that road, and when we keep on going. God places us in positions so we can share His light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. The military is one of those places. The military, who's been in the military? Who's been around the military working? The military is a very dark and evil place at times. It can be worse than most dangerous places all over the world, right in our own military. It is a place where they take innocent men and innocent women, your children, that have joined to defend their country, maybe to get an education, maybe to travel, and force them to make moral and ethical decisions that they're not ready to make yet. It's either you join the crowd or we'll isolate you. And you'll be on the outside of the crowd. The military is a place where soldiers will die for each other. They'll go back for each other. They'll do whatever it takes. They do things that we couldn't even imagine for each other. But at the same time, they give very little tolerance to sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God places strategically men and women all over the world to pierce that darkness, to bring light to that darkness. It probably is the greatest mission field in the world. And I kind of cringe when I hear military men say, man, I got to get out of the military. It's just a horrible place. So who's going to be that witness? Who's going to be the one to make a difference? Who's going to be the one to bring Christ to a whole military unit, to a whole squad, to the friend that you're bunking with? Who's going to bring Christ to those people? Because when those people get in trouble, that is when you, the Christian, that have lived the Christian life, is able to move in and share the love and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and pierce that darkness. When I heard Jared was joining the Air Force, I really contemplated that. I asked myself, I said, you know, Lord, do you think Jared's strong enough to be a witness for you? And I believe that answer is yes. I have watched Jared grow up since probably 9 years old to be a strong man, to love others, respects others, he loves God. But there's an incident that I'll never forget my whole life. We went to North Georgia on a missions trip, and the youth went with us. And it was a really tough place, a very dangerous place to go. And we were ministering to the poor. We were giving out gift cards to the local supermarket. We were giving out tracts. We were sharing the gospel. We would go back into places where we did not know where we were driving. Once you went around the woods, and then some of our adults had to get out and go over a hill to someone's house. And all you heard was a bunch of dogs barking and crows cocking and all that kind of stuff. And you didn't have any idea what was going on in there. But God protected us every single time. But something happened just before we left, the day before we left. Blue Ridge was having a big festival. And Jared wanted to go down there and share the gospel with all those youth that were going to be there in Blue Ridge. That really takes a lot of boldness to do. And it about floored me, because I probably, since I've been there, haven't heard Jared say 1,000 words. And we said, okay, so we all packed up and went down to Blue Ridge and parked the van and got out. And I saw this circle of teens. And I saw Jared in the middle of it. I thought it was probably a bunch of thugs going to beat him up or something. And the other youth were also there with him. And you know what was happening? Jared was boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I could not believe my eyes. Jared's quiet. He doesn't like confrontation. And was willing to go down in front of all those teens down there, possibly to be ridiculed, laughed at, and shared the gospel. Did anyone get saved that night? But went down there and was willing to go in the middle of all of those teens and share the gospel. I've never been more impressed by Jared or our youth group than that night. It was just unbelievable. I've always liked Jared. There's not a thing I've ever asked Jared to do that he didn't do. He's a man of his word. He works hard, very respectful to all of us. But this even went beyond that. He was piercing the darkness. He was willing to put himself out there as a teenager and pierce the darkness to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The youth were piercing the darkness. That is why I'm proud of our youth group. We may not have all the fancy stuff. We may not have all the programs. But every one of them's willing to share the gospel. Every one of them's willing to go down in those unsafe, horrible places, not knowing what's going to happen, and share the gospel. They were excited about going. Scared and excited at the same time. It was just awesome to see all of our youth, not just Jared, ministering in such a powerful way. We were in the van and we dropped some kids off with adults, and we went down a couple houses and we came back. And I want to say it was Joel and I don't know who else. They came running to the van and said, "We saved that lady right there." And they gave her a Bible. And as we pulled out of her driveway, that lady didn't have a lot, but she was sitting there on a chair. And both of her little girls, they're about that big, was sitting on her lap. And they were reading the Bible together. Because of our teenagers and youth leaders that shared the gospel, she accepted Christ as her personal Savior. And it just transformed her life. I remember when I first came here over nine years ago, I went to the McAlpin's home to visit them. And Jared was only 9 or 10 years old then. And I don't even know if I knew Jared that well, but I don't remember the conversation. I'm sorry, Georgia. And Dora, I don't remember our conversation hardly at all, but I remember one comment. Jared came out of wherever he came out of, and he said, "You know, I think maybe God's calling me to be a preacher." And man, I was just blown away when he said that. That's probably the first words I've ever heard him speak. And man, I was just so excited about that. But whether he ends up being a preacher or an airman for the next 20 years or something else, my prayer for Jared is to live for Christ every day. Because when you get a man of integrity and character, people listen to them. He's a man of few words. And those are some of the greatest men there is. They only say something when they have something to say. And so that's his calling. His calling may not be a preacher. His calling is to share Christ. It's kind of like, you know, my little games here, I always mess them up. See this? That took me about 5 minutes to blow up. You ever try to blow up a water balloon? I guess you're not supposed to. You're supposed to put water in it. But as Jared went to Blue Ridge in the youth, as Jared goes all over the world, this is the world. And Jared comes in and he shares the gospel, right? And he pierces the darkness. You can never put that back together again. Because he is sharing the gospel with someone. And then that begins to spread everywhere. But it takes somebody to go on the mission field, to go into the military, not only to get everything that he wants, but to give him what Christ wants. And I believe with all my heart, if anybody can do that, I believe that it's Jared. See, a calling is not the ultimate in our lives. It's how you get there. I know a lot of preachers that do underhanded things. They got a calling, but they live horrible lives. It's the one that lives every day with clean hands and pure hearts and reaches those military men that they sleep with every day, they're in the foxholes with, they train with, and he has to say nothing except to live Christ. And when the time comes, when something happens, and someone's hurt, someone's mom dies in the United States, he can say, you know what, I have someone that can help. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just being obedient to the voice of God, no matter what your profession is God's calling. Just doing what God tells you to do. Besides, our whole life is what? A preparation for what? For retirement. Huh? That is what I'm waiting for. Now, I'm going to be preaching here until I'm 93 years old when I fall over. That's right. But you know what? My retirement's in heaven. And so that is what I'm living for. I'm living for retirement. I'm not living for anything else to get a bunch of money and retire. I could retire for about 45 minutes. Then I'd be bored to death. If I get 3 days off from the church, I'm bored to death. I don't know what to do. I say, Chris, let's talk. We just talked. And so she's reading her book. Chris, what are you doing? I'm reading my book. Well, can't we talk? What do you want to say? I don't know. Can't you just put the book down? So she would never want me to retire. Ever, 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 ever. And so, but my retirement is in heaven. And so, Jared, I leave you with this verse, my favorite verse of all times. And it's Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If we're ever ashamed of the gospel, when we get to heaven, God will be ashamed of us. We should be willing to share the gospel wherever we go. I hate to lose Jared. It seems like God always takes the good ones. But I guess that's good because God sends them all over the world. And he can affect so many people.
But you know what it's going to take? Every one of us praying for him. That he can be bold. Because it's going to be easy for him to hide out and not share Christ. And I pray that God will give him the boldness and give him the joy of doing whatever he wants to do and go all over the world and travel and make a lot of friends and find a wife and whatever else he wants to do. But also share Christ at the same time. Sharing Christ is not a drudgery. Sharing Christ is not a bad thing. Like, man, now I got to go share Christ. Why did the pastor talk about me being a missionary? Because, you know, now I got that burden on me. There's no burden. When we love Christ, Christ gives us the opportunities to share him when it's appropriate. So we're going to do several things here at the same time. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's many people here I don't know, I've never seen before. I pray that as we start this invitation, that you will come and give your life to Christ. He died for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He became our perfect sacrifice so we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. That's hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so each one of us have to ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. And then Jesus will save our souls and take us to heaven. All those people that got saved and baptized, even those little boys sat there quietly. Their sisters sat there quietly. You know what? Those kids, not their mom, those kids called us to their house. Because they were sitting here in church last Sunday and didn't quite understand salvation. The youth has been talking about salvation. Awana's been talking about salvation. The children's been talking about salvation. And they were ready to be baptized. And you know how I know you can tell the difference? There was a boy there. And I don't know who he was, but there was a boy over there sitting. It must have been 14 or 15. And we asked him if he wanted to join. And he said no. He wanted nothing to do with salvation. And that's because God hadn't drawn him yet. It wasn't time. But those three kids, it was real. And those kids are special kids, and I pray that God will just use them in a mighty way. But if you're not saved, when the invitation starts, you come up and see Chris. Come on, Chris. And no, not Stephen. Steve, if you'll come over here. See one of those. If you're a woman, see my wife. If you're a man, see Steve Williford, and they can pray with you and show you how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. If you want to join the church, just come up here and have a seat. And the rest of us, I'm going to ask the McAlpin family just to come up right now if you want to stand. We're going to pray for all of you. And I'm going to ask their youth leaders, Melanie and Stephen, if you'll come up and stand over him. And then I want all the youth to come up and stand behind our youth leaders. And so, come on, youth. We don't have no youth here. This is the last time he's leaving in July. We may not see him again. And then if anybody else feels led to pray with them, you come up also at the same time and just lay your hands on someone. This is a great man of God, let me tell you what. And we're going to pray that he does pierce the darkness. One man can change the world. It only takes one man to be bold for Christ. Let's have an invitation.
Amen.
Whatever you need, you come.
Who's thirsty? You're thirsty for me, for God. The waves of his mercy.
pierces the darkness wherever he goes.